The Bible has two chapters that I call the rapture resurrection chapters. Two of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is what we're going to be in this morning with you. So turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Tonight at Hasty, I feel led to preach on the rapture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So those two chapters in your Bible, if you want to make a note of that, are the rapture resurrection chapters. So this morning we're at verse 20 through 28. This past Wednesday night we dealt with verses 12 through 19 and some verses even beyond those. We looked at this past Wednesday night, the protest against the resurrection. Paul pointed out that even though he had preached the resurrection of Christ and he'd done so with power, with convincing power, because you see, Paul was one of those who saw the risen Christ. He speaks of that in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, by the way, in those first 8 or 9 verses. Paul, the least of the apostles, he called himself, because he had persecuted the church, but the grace of God made him who he was and what he did. So we saw verses 12 through 19 where he was speaking hypothetically, tongue in cheek. Had Christ not risen, he lists several things there that would be true had Christ not risen, but Paul knew better than that. Our faith would be in vain. Our preaching would be in vain. Preachers themselves would be useless. They would be liars. And probably the biggest thing, if Christ had not risen, we would still be in our sin. So it brings us to verse 20, where he states emphatically his assured belief. Notice verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Paul knew it was a fact, a reality. So that's where we're going to begin this morning. Verses 20 through 28 there in your Bible, if you want to mark these verses. We're going to look at this subject this morning, the program of the resurrection. This portion of Scripture, verses 20 through 28, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28, is an amazingly awesome passage of Scripture. Amazingly awesome. For you see, we're going to see here momentarily, Paul gives a panoramic view. A panoramic view from the rapture of the church carries us all the way through the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ to the very end of that. Amazing. Verses 20 through 28. So notice there in verse 20 and 23, I want to show you a word that you'll find common in those two verses. Paul gives a resurrection principle. A resurrection principle. Look at verse 20 and then verse 23. Now I want you to see a word that you find in both of these verses. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Now look what follows. And become the first fruits of them that slept or died. Underline that word, the first fruits. And then look at verse 23. But every man in his own order. This thing about resurrection is not going to be something chaotic. It has an order to it. And then look at verse 23. Christ, the first fruits. The word is first fruits in verse 20 and 23. Now, what in the world is Paul speaking of when he uses this word, the first fruits? Christ is the first fruits. The resurrection of Jesus was the first fruits. What Paul is referring to here is the Jewish feast of first fruits that you find obviously in the Old Testament. It was the third of seven annual feasts that the Jews ceremoniously and consistently observed. Wish we had time to study each one of these seven feasts, for each one represented a foreshadow of things to come, particularly related to Christ. So the Jewish Feast of First Fruits, the third of seven annual feasts, and the Jews observed it very, very strictly and very spiritually. It represented the reaping of the Jewish harvest that occurred in three stages. Stage number one, it started, the Jewish harvest started with the first fruits. The first part of their harvest, known as the first fruits. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, applied that thought, first fruits, to what? Jesus' resurrection. Then in the Jewish harvest, the second stage was known as the great harvest. As we're going to see here momentarily, that's where you and I enter in. That's the resurrection that will occur when the Lord comes back, and he could come back any day, any moment. The Lord himself shall return with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and what? The dead in Christ shall rise first or resurrect. That's the second stage. Jesus' resurrection was the first fruits. The second stage, as compared to the Jewish harvest, Feast of First Fruits, the second stage will be the resurrection of all believers from Pentecost until that moment of the rapture, the great harvest. And then the third stage of the Jewish harvest was known as the gleanings. The gleanings. Here in a moment, I'll show you the what many preachers call the hyphenated first resurrection, namely the resurrection of the Old Testament saints and then those who died during the seven-year tribulation period. So here Paul uses this analogy, the Jewish Feast of First Fruits. Stage number one started with the first fruits. Jesus' resurrection was the first fruits. The second stage, the great harvest, our resurrection at the rapture. The third stage, the gleanings, when the Old Testament saints, and I'll show you biblically from the book of Daniel here in a moment, that. But notice verses 21 and 22 that are setting here before us. Again, verse 20 ends, the first fruits of them that slept or died. Where did death come from? Why are you and I having an appointment with death? I'm praying that some of us, listen, here's the truth, the fact of the matter. Some of us will be alive at the rapture. Some of us will have died before the rapture. There's one of two ways you and I are going to meet the Lord in the air one day. We'll either be resurrected after we've died and been buried. Of course, our spirit or soul, what, immediately goes be with the Lord. Absent from the body, what, present with the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But over there in Holly Hill, we've already got our burial spaces. That'll really bless your heart. Knowing where you're going to be laid to rest one day. But that grave will not hold us. when Jesus comes back in the air, the upper atmosphere, with that shout and the trump of God and the dead in Christ will rise first, that's the resurrection. And then we which are alive and remain, and I'm hoping to be alive at the rapture, and could very well, if it happens today, obviously we're all going to be alive. Unless somebody dies in the service, that would alarm us. I thought my wife did Wednesday night, but she was only actually fell asleep and she was over there snoring. That's why I knew she hadn't died. Can you believe that? The preacher's wife falling asleep while the preacher's preaching. And I heard over there going, a little bit of her snoring. She's been tired here lately. Lost my train of thought. No, verses 21 and 22. Notice verses 21 and 22. They're setting there for a reason. Paul talks about the two representatives, namely the first Adam and the second Adam, or Christ. Look at verse 21. For since by man came death. We're going to pause there. And then look at the first part of verse 22. For as in Adam, that's that first created man, Adam. Remember, all the way back to Genesis. For as in Adam, all die. Now let me show you a parallel passage that goes along with 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. Take your Bible and turn over to Romans chapter 5. Leave your finger now. We're coming back to 1 Corinthians 15. But let me just show you a parallel passage in Romans chapter 5. Great book of Romans. And this fifth chapter of Romans is one of the great chapters in the Bible. Romans chapter 5, and come down to verse number 12. You'll see and hear the parallel to what we just read in 1 Corinthians 15, 21, and 22. Notice in Romans 5, and notice verse number 12. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. Who's that one man? Adam. When did it happen? Genesis chapter 3. Remember when in that subtle form of a serpent, Satan came, deceived Eve. She ate of that forbidden fruit. Adam did later, but God did not dismiss Adam from responsibility. Remember, they tried to hide their sinful nakedness, their sinful guilt with leaves, and God, and tried to hide from God. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Because of Adam's sin, one of the pronouncements of God's judgment was that man would what? We would all have to die. So we have Adam to thank for that. And so death passed upon all men, for that all what have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Drop down to verse 17 here in Romans 5. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And then verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so there's the parallel. But now keep your finger now. I want you, Romans 5, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and then a few seconds later, one more time back to Romans 5. Now look back to 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 21 and 22's ending. Remember, we paused a while ago. Look at verse 21's ending in 1 Corinthians 15. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Adam, the first Adam, brought death, but Jesus, who referred to as the second Adam, we'll see in Romans 5, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22's ending, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now look back to Romans 5. The first Adam brought about ruin and death. The second Adam, namely Christ, brings about resurrection and deliverance. Look at Romans 5 and look at verse 18. Romans 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, that was Adam, even so by the righteousness of one, that's namely Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Adam, the first Adam, by his sin brought death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection, brought us life. And then look at Romans 5, verse 19's ending. So by the obedience of one, namely Jesus, shall many be made righteous. So that first Adam, because of his sin, brought ruin and death, sin and death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his obedience to death on the cross and his resurrection, have made you and I possible to have life eternal. And one day you and I will have resurrection. So we see the two representatives. But now, secondly, this morning, I want you to see the three resurrections. What do you mean by that, preacher? Number one, first and foremost, Jesus Christ, his resurrection 2,000 years ago that we celebrated for Easter. What does the Bible say in verses 20 and 23? His resurrection, he was the what? First fruits. Jesus was resurrected first. Now, prior to his resurrection, the Bible records people who died and resurrected. Namely, probably the most familiar was what? Lazarus. Remember Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus? He died. And it took Jesus 4 days to get there. And by the way, Jesus is never late. He's always on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him. That's a good song. I believe it's named. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. I wish I could sing. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Jesus was 4 days late. No, he was 4 days right on time. And stood at the mouth of the grave of Lazarus. The Bible said he was already stinking by that time. Dead. And what did Jesus do? Lazarus, come forth. One preacher said, if he hadn't said Lazarus, everybody heard his voice when it came out of their graves. But he called specifically, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, and you know what the Bible says, the shortest verse in all the Bible related to that situation. You know what it is? The shortest verse, two words, Jesus wept. You know why Jesus wept? He knew what he was going to do. You see, Lazarus came forth. But guess what? He had to die again. Jesus was the first fruits, the first to resurrect and to be alive forevermore. And then notice the second resurrection. I'll call this the rapture resurrection. You'll find it at the end of verse 23 here in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at the end of verse 23. Christ, the first fruits. First resurrection. And then notice second resurrection. Afterward, after Jesus' resurrection as the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ, look at the last three words of verse 23, underline it, at his coming. And the coming of Jesus will be in two phases. There are three positions today that are arguably out there about the rapture. Number one is what I believe the scripture more clearly teaches, a pre-tribulation rapture. That means before the seven-year tribulation period. Pre-trib, pre-millennial, before the tribulation period in the millennial. I believe the rapture could happen any moment, any day. Then there are those who say the church will go through the first half of the 7 years. That's called the mid-trib rapture. And then you got that crowd out there that argue with you that the rapture will be post-trib. It won't happen until the end of the tribulation period. I want to tell you, friend, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Can't get an amen right there. At his coming in the air, not back to earth, that comes at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. He comes in the upper atmosphere. The dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. The Greek word is harpazo. It means caught up, snatched away, or raptured. That's the rapture resurrection. And then notice verse 24. Then cometh the end. From verse 24 through 28, John gives us a panoramic view from the rapture, the 1,000 millennial reign of Christ. You find that in Revelation chapter 20, to the very end of that and the very end of time that ushers us in into the last two chapters of Revelation, our heavenly home for eternity. Here's what I believe. At the end of the 7-year tribulation period, there'll be the second part of the first resurrection. The first part is when we're raptured or resurrected when the Lord comes back in the air. At the end of the 7-year tribulation period and just before Christ establishes his 1,000, literally 1,000 year reign on earth, and we'll be there with him. When he comes back, by the way, in the rapture, he comes for his church. His second coming back to earth at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, we come back with him. And I believe at that point, at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, the Old Testament saints will be resurrected along with those who died during the tribulation period. Where do you get that from, Preacher Andy? From the book of Daniel. If you'll go back to the book of Daniel in your Old Testament, Daniel chapter 12, let me show you something. The great prophetic book of Daniel. When Daniel finished writing his prophecy in verse 4 of this 12th chapter, God told Daniel to close the book. It wasn't time for it to be opened. In the book of Revelation, the very last chapter of the Bible, chapter 22, the Bible says the book of Revelation is to be opened. But look at Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the prophecy of the great time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, or the tribulation period. Daniel 12, look at verse 1. And at that time shall Michael, who's Michael? The great archangel. You'll find his name mentioned, by the way, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 I'll be preaching tonight at Hasty. Michael, notice, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now who is this? The children of thy people, of Daniel's people. Daniel was not a Gentile. Daniel was a Jew. Listen carefully tonight. This is why, or this morning, this is why I believe the church will be raptured before the tribulation period. There's no need for the church to go through the tribulation period. The 7-year tribulation period is designated for the Jewish people. Daniel 9, this great book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, speaks of those 7 years. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. That's how bad it will be. Jesus in Matthew 24 said it'll be that coming tribulation period will be the worst that the world has ever seen, and nothing will ever be worse afterward. And at that time, notice, and at that time, the time of the 7-year tribulation, thy people, who? The Jewish people, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. There will be a remnant that will be saved and spared during the tribulation period. And verse 2 is where I believe it shows that they will be resurrected, namely the Old Testament saints at the end of the tribulation. Look at Daniel 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. What does that mean? They've died and they've been buried. Look what follows. Shall awake from their sleep in their death. They've been buried, they've died, but they one day shall awake. That is what? That's resurrection. Shall awake some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Some to go to heaven and some who died without faith will be eternally lost. So the three resurrections are what? Number one, the resurrection of Jesus, the first fruits. Remember the Jewish festival of feast? Number two, the rapture resurrection. That compares to the second stage of the Jewish harvest, the great harvest, when all of the saints of God will be resurrected. And then the third part, the second part of the first resurrection at the end of the tribulation period, the Old Testament saints and those who died during the tribulation will be resurrected. To do what? Go into the millennial reign of Christ with us. So notice how this portion ends. Look at verse 24. Now back to 1 Corinthians 15. Then cometh the end, when he, namely Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. You know what I believe he's referring to there? Satan. You know how many believe Satan, that the old devil's real? Say amen. Well, about two of you believe it. Adrian Rogers used to say, if you're not running from the devil, you're running with the devil. I'm telling you today, Satan's real. The Bible says he's the prince and power of the air. He has authority and he has power, but one day he will be subdued. In Revelation chapter 20, there when the millennial reign begins, he'll be put in prison for 1,000 years, but at the end of the millennial reign, he'll be loose for a little season. All of this is in your Bible in Revelation 20. He'll go around and deceive as many as the sands of the sea. They'll encircle Jerusalem. God sends down fire from heaven to destroy them, and then he takes the old devil, Satan, and casts him in the lake of fire and brimstone where he'll be forever and ever. So the next time the devil bothers you, he says, devil, you're going to hell one day, because that's where he's headed. Boy, I wish I had time to preach all this for you and take you through these studies. And then look at verse 25. For he, Jesus, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And listen, when he comes back, he'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with all power. He'll take care of Satan. He'll do away with the devil, rule and reign for 1,000 years. Look at verse 26. This ought to bless you. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Is death. Just peek over verses 55 through 57. You'll see exactly that. Then verse 27 and 28, Paul reaches back to Psalm chapter 8, verse 6, and quotes, for he shall put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Psalm chapter 8, verse 6. And then verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, unto Christ, then shall the Son, capital S, who is that referring to? The Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, namely his Father, God, that put all things under him. Why? That God may be all in all. Isn't that powerful? a panoramic view from the rapture to the very end of the millennial reign. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ will step down for God his Father to be God in all. And I believe that's the last two chapters, 21 and 22 of Revelation. When we go to a place where we'll never die, never be sick, never have sorrow. The Bible says in Revelation 21:4, God will do what? Wipe away all tears from our eyes. And this old body that you're looking to, that's 73 years old, filled with all kind of problems, can barely walk, one day I'm going to have a brand new body. Brand new. Thelma, you won't need this. You won't need this anymore over there. You may need it now, but you won't need it over there. Amen. Won't have to wear glasses. Won't have to pop pills. Won't have to go to a doctor. Won't have to ever go to a funeral. Death will be conquered. It's all because of his resurrection. He's the first fruits. You and I have our resurrection. Then those Old Testament saints, Abraham, David, Moses, will have their resurrection. It's all in the book. Read it. It's a great story. It's a great promise. Let us stand. Father, thank you for our service today and the Word of God. We pray for our sheriff today, the sheriff of Davidson County, is preaching over at Hasty Baptist. We're going to try to skirt over there and hear some of him. Use him today in a mighty way. Help us leave today encouraged that one day, either by resurrection or rapture, we're going to meet our Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Christ for all eternity. Never to die again, never to be sick again, never to have sorrow again, but to have a brand new glorified body, just like Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen. Greet each other today and leave happy, leave victorious. Got to use it today, but not for long. Amen.